is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Great, okay.
Like I said, this is Bill William.
Yep, Bill the Bold Baron.
He has joined us. He's driven all the way from Santa Cruz to speak to us tonight. So let's give him a big hand for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Let him tell you a little bit about himself and then let him go into his talk. So take
yeah.
it away, Bill.
Well, I specialize in easy-to-grow flower bulbs. These are bulbs you can rely on that are deer and gopher and squirrel proof. So they're permanent. They're not going to get eaten. They come back year after year. They multiply, thrive on neglect. And I like to say easy to grow as weeds. Also good for problem soils, clay soils. I, for example, at the farm in Moss Landing, I have clay soil that is so slippery that you can fall down on level ground, seriously, when it's wet. And that means roads have to be graveled and all the land where the bulbs are has an inch of wood chips. And I notice getting up here in the mountains, while I see lots of trees around, that's wonderful if you guys have access to wood chips. An inch of wood chips is a wonderful mulch for all of these bulbs. It really helps them do better. It helps keep the flowers clean when they're blooming. It minimizes weed problems. It retains moisture, especially useful when we have dry years. And all around, it's just good for the ground. If you don't have access to an inch of wood chips, then oak leaves, like a couple inches of oak leaves or other material like that, is really good on the surface. But bulbs in general are native to environments where the soil is not high in organic material, so the mulch should be on the top, on the surface, and not down in the ground in great quantities. So sometimes people talk about potting them up, and if you do that, it's okay to use the potting soil and whatever for just 1 year, but if they're going to stay in that container year after year, then it's important to use just good old dirt. In fact, I have about 6,000 or 7,000 5-gallon cans full of seedlings. Those are seed-grown bulbs from hybridizing, primarily Narcissus, but other bulbs as well. And all of those are filled with dirt. I use a little bit of wood chips on top after the seeds have sprouted and have been there a year or two, but I just want soil down with the root zone because bulbs in general are not into having a lot of organic material, except as a mulch. Now, these flowers that I have here, what I'd like to do is take some of these and pass them around. I've got a couple of different things here. First of all, these look like the pink lady, or they call naked lady type amaryllis, which is the one you, I think, see in old gardens probably around August, is it? September? When do they bloom here?
Yes.
August, right. Well, this is different. This is bred from those, but the father is a crinum. So these are bigeneric hybrids, a cross between two different genera, two different genuses, so to speak. And they have inherited really important characteristics from the crinum. Three that I can think of. Number one, they are green all year. So they do not, they're not naked. In other words, like having a leaf at one time and a flower at a different time. Green all year. Secondly, whenever it's warm, they will bloom. So many times a year they will bloom. You just put them in the garden with everything else where they get a little bit of water. They don't have to have a lot of water. Won't hurt if they get it. But occasional watering, you know, once or twice a month in the dry parts of the year is beneficial. They can enjoy two or three, you know, a good couple inches of mulch around, and that'll keep them moist. You don't have to water much then. And they'll bloom repeatedly whenever it's warm. So evergreen, blooming off and on whenever it's warm. And the third thing is a really, really, really nice fragrance. I think the fragrance is great on the old-fashioned pink amaryllis, but this is exceptionally nice. I think it's a lot nicer. And when I opened the back of the truck tonight, I just waves of fragrance came out, and it's a very special smell. What I'm going to do is pass a few of these around and let you people smell these. At the end of the evening, I'd like everybody to empty out these two buckets of flowers, meaning I don't have to take any of the cut flowers home because I got plenty of them at the farm. And so here's a nice bouquet. Let's get a big fat rubber band out of my pocket. People always wonder why I have so many pockets, and now you know why. I have to have the jeans tailored specially to have enough pockets. And seriously, I do. They're all needed at different times of the year. So I'm going to bunch these up a little bit nicer here, and then we can just pass this around. Everybody should smell these. And in fact, I think I'll add some narcissus while we're at it. This is actually a green-flowered narcissus. Now, it is bred from a wild species of narcissus from Morocco, from the Tangier area, called Narcissus viridiflorus. Now, the daddy of this is only about a quarter of the size of what I'm holding here. It's the color of the green grass. It is as green as green gets. It attracts pollinators through its fragrance, and this hybrid inherits that fragrance. It's an amazing smell. They're fall-blooming narcissus. These are a cross of a cluster flower Tezeta-type narcissus called Matador as the mother, and then the daddy is the viridiflorus. And I'm going to include that here just to let everybody smell that. It smells very different from a normal narcissus. And then the other narcissus here I have are in two categories. There is the big ones, big and tall, are Autumn Pearl. And I have bulbs of that over here. Lots of them. I might have some bulbs of it over here at this end too, but I've got a load of Autumn Pearl and more in the truck. I have tons of those Autumn Pearl blooming now at the farm. If you plant them now and water, they'll bloom in a month or two. They're fall narcissus. I developed them. They're my kids. I use the term the Bildren. Bill's children. Yes, absolutely. The other of my Bildren that are blooming right now are the Autumn Colors, which is one of the parents of the Autumn Pearl, the other parent being the tetraploid form of paperwhite. So these are the Autumn Colors. And they smell really good too. They're a little smaller. They're more closely related to the wild forms from the coastal Mediterranean. And they are incredibly fragrant and really nice smell. And I've got different ones have different smells. They vary in color, but also with narcissus, each kind has a different fragrance. So there's a lot of diversity in the smell too. So check these different ones out. Smell the different narcissus, smell the green one, and of course, and the Autumn Pearl, and enjoy those massive amarcrinums, which is what these bulbs are. By the way, these evergreen amaryllis that are the cross of the naked lady amaryllis as the mother and the crinum as the father, this is the bulb. Oh, wow. Is that big enough for you? Do not let anyone hit you in the head with it. It is hard as a rock. And I sell, they come in different sizes. There are some smaller ones here. Small ones will go for $20, giants for $40, in-betweens for 30, and I've got two tubs here and a couple more tubs out by the truck. And when you plant those, you cover it right to where the green pseudo neck begins. So right about where my, it's not exact, but right about where my hand is holding it, that's where the dirt goes up to. Yeah. And you leave the green part sticking out. They go about 2 feet apart. They multiply by dividing. They grow wonderfully, and of course, nothing eats them, and they bloom many times a year. So keep that in mind, and let's pass this around now. And everybody should smell all the different ones there. It's quite a smorgasbord of fragrance. So did everybody get a flyer here?
Yes.
Good. So the flyer gives, on the flyer, you'll want to look at it down in the lower right-hand corner. Looks like a little business card down there. And that gives the website address. Of course, if you come to one of my garden club talks, you get really good prices, and it's much more convenient for me. I don't have to take time to box things up and ship them, and you don't have to pay postage. So come to these garden, if you hear of a garden club talk or a Master Gardeners event where I'm going to be sure to come. But you can also go online and order, mail order, and it's BillTheBulbBaron.com. Baron with one R, BillTheBulbBaron.com. When you get to the website, go to the availability option. choose that option on the home page, availability, and then you can scroll down. It tells you how to order, and below that, it lists all the narcissus in sequence of bloom, earliest at the top, latest at the bottom, and then below that, you come to all the other types of bulbs that I have, the amaryllis, the amacrinum, the heirloom freesia, and a whole bunch of others. So let's see, what else do we have here? We have, here's a nice one, calla lilies. Now, you know, everybody knows the old-fashioned white calla, which do really well. White callas are great. They come from the Cape Town area of South Africa, where it is a winter rainfall climate. These are from inland South Africa, where it is much, much drier. These are yellow callas, or flame, which means yellow with orange, and they should be grown in dry areas. They bloom in late spring, April, May, early June. It's okay to water them when they're blooming. Or when they're coming up, you can water a little. When they're blooming, water once or twice. After they bloom, do not pay any attention to them. The key with these is they grow in dry areas in South Africa. Don't want a lot of water after bloom. They could rot if you do that. Most of my bulbs won't rot no matter what you do. But these callas can be occasionally prone to that, so keep them dry after bloom. Doesn't matter how much it rains in the winter. When they're asleep, they don't notice it. And they sleep during the winter. The colored calla is not green all winter like the the white one from the Cape Town area. Let's see what else is here that's interesting. Heirloom freesia. Now, my dad got a few of those from a client of his with an old garden in Carmel. I grew up in Carmel Valley, and I remember the night that Dad brought the little bag home. It was probably a bag that was smaller than this. And it had little freesia bulbs in it. And he went out and I filled up the backyard with bulbs, so there wasn't anywhere to plant there. He put them under the oak trees. And even though it was shady, they did fine. They bloomed beautifully. When customers have issues with shade, I tell them the freesia will grow there also. Of course, it does great out in the open, full sun or part shade, no problem. And the heirloom freesia come in bags of 50 plus, which means a little more than 50 in here, and I sell it for $20, and it's well worth it. They smell amazing. They have way more fragrance than the modern freesia. Modern freesias are beautiful, many colors, big and tall. These are shorter, 8 inches, sometimes 6 to 12 inches, depending on whether it's shade or sun. These are shorties. You can smell them all over the yard. They bloom, March, April is about the time you would see them. Amazing things. I recommend them. I think I have another bucket of them down at that end, too. Now, here's something nice. These are called Scilla peruviana. Now, this is related to a hyacinth, a beautiful blue-flowered bulb that blooms in the spring. Late March, mostly April, May. They're about a foot to a foot and a half tall, super easy to grow. One of my customers who is in Aptos, she has a second home, I think it's in Lincoln, which is, I believe, somewhere east of Sacramento, and she says these do wonderfully there, as do all my bulbs, which is good to hear. And Scilla peruviana is one she mentioned as a great one. I love them. They have beautiful, very shiny, very glossy green foliage. They do well, they multiply well, and I sell them at $5 each or six of them for $25. Well worth it. When you plant these, you just cover them to the top and no deeper, kind of like planting an amaryllis. They don't go deep. In fact, while I'm on the subject of bulb depth, generally I say in the hard type of soil that most people have in California, including myself, I cover them with an inch of dirt, no deeper. And if there's mulch on top of that dirt, that's all fine. But just inch of dirt is enough. These old-fashioned freesia, inch deep, inch or more apart. And pretty much everything, inch of dirt over them. Straight amaryllis, like the naked type, which I have over here. These naked amaryllis, you cover them just right to the top of the bulb and no deeper. Just hide everything and no deeper. And I have some pictures here, which I need to put out of the amaryllis. So when I get those... out here, let's take a look here. I'm going to have my friend and helper here find the picture of that. Where is the picture of the amaryllis? I'm finding all kinds of pictures, but I'm not finding the multi, has many different amaryllis on it. There it is, you found it. See, she had the gift of, she found it faster than I could. There it is, put it over right in the bin here. And then we'll have a picture there. And then you can put an amaryllis picture right along the front in there, which is one of these here. Yeah, so these amaryllis are interesting. Yeah, that'd be where we can get, yeah, that's good. We might have one more. This is really nice. These amaryllis come in many colors. Now, they're bred from the old-fashioned pink one, the naked, as they call the naked lady amaryllis. The difference is, well, for one thing, you can see how the color is very variable. Got some really intense colors here, a few whites. Now, I have the whites separately right here. These buckets are the whites at $5 each. Here's some reddish reds. These are $5 each also. And then over here, I have some blushing ones. And I don't have a picture handy of those, so I'll just have to tell you what they look like. They're blushers, meaning that they have a green stem, just like the whites do, but they more or less resemble a white, but there is a blush of pink to them, especially after they've been open a while. It's a really beautiful color. It's just basically a blush. Yeah, I just say they're blushing because they're naked, right? And but they are a white that blushes slight pink, and those are $5 each also. I recommend them highly. In fact, if you ask me, I can find some here that blush a little more because I wrote on them MB, which means more blush. This one says MMB, more blush. Very good. But they're way lighter colored than the normal pink. They're more of a white, like I say, just blushing pink. But then we have these dark ones, these red ones here, and then we have the whites. So get them while you can. Daffodils. Now, the big yellow trumpet daffodil, everybody knows, of course, the big yellow trumpet daffodil. Now, I have one here that does really well. Permanent, someone gave me back many years ago when I was like 20 years old, 21 years old. They gave me a bag of Malvern City daffodils in the hopes that I would buy many more. I never did because they multiplied and grew so well I didn't need to. And my helper actually dug them by mistake. I use them for cut flowers normally. We dug about half of them before I caught them. So now you guys are lucky you get to buy Malvern Cities this year. And I sell them at just $2 or 3 for 5, 7 for 10, a dozen for $15. And that's the same price as the other narcissus. So dive in and get lots of yellow daffodils. This is a nice early one. It does really, really, really well.
Are they different yellow color than the store-bought? I mean, the ones you find that...
The difference is that they are very, very permanent, reliable, easy to grow, good naturalizer. Sometimes the yellow ones, I mean, you buy the ones randomly. Sometimes they do well, and sometimes they don't. Because there's many different varieties of yellow daffodil, and they all look more or less alike. But what their climate preference is and where they do, how they do out in the open. Some of them that do well in England or Holland need a much moister climate than we have here.
Right.
A cooler, moister spring, many different, more of like Washington State or England or Holland, and don't do so well in California. But this one does fantastically. So I really recommend that one a lot. Let's see what else I have over here. Crocosmia. These do really well. These bloom June, July, August. They are related to gladiolas, but animals don't bother them. They grow incredibly well, about 3 feet tall, and they are really remarkable. Hummingbirds love them. Beautiful dark red. They're really nice. They grow super well, and I recommend them highly. I sell them at $3 or $30 a dozen, and once you've got them, like all these bulbs, once you've got them, you'll have them permanently, so that's the nice thing about these. Oxbloods. So oxbloods come in red or in pink. The oxblood blooms naked like the amaryllis. However, it's only about a foot tall. And it is, so it's a foot tall, blooms in late August and September. And if they've been sitting there during the summer doing nothing, that's okay. One watering and they're in full bloom in a week. Now that picture there, if you look at those, that's a lot of them, as you can see. There's a lot of them in that picture, a lot. That was just bare ground, just bare ground with an inch of wood chips on it a week before. And that was, they were watered once on a Sunday, and the following Sunday, full bloom. How's that for quick growth? So that's how fast they grow. And they're wonderful. They're easy to grow. They come from Argentina, and they come in a pink form also, which I also recommend. It does really, really well here. And what else do we have? So let's say, oxbloods are about a foot. So they're shorter. They have a bulb that looks like a darker skin narcissus bulb, and they have rather a narrow leaf like some of the narcissus have, like a Jonquilla narcissus. Narrow leaf, dark green, shiny, beautiful leaf, and they multiply really fast, like a narcissus. In fact, I have clumped some with like 50 or more bulbs in it, and when those all bloom at once, there's a lot of flowers. In fact, you water it once, there's a lot of bloom, and then you wait a few weeks, you can water again in the fall, and it'll bloom again. They are very productive. They're kind of a rain lily type thing. They're distantly related to Zephyranthes, and I recommend them. This is as a good bulb that just is easy, and you can count on them year after year.
Would they be cold hardy in zone 7?
Yeah, you'd be hardy with the, yeah, they have good, yeah, oxbloods have good hardiness.
Okay.
Definitely, definitely. So here, let's see what we have over here. Lots of narcissus. Now, the way it works with narcissus is, many of the varieties I have here, most of them I would say, that I have in front of me are varieties I developed myself. So once again, these are the Bildren, Bill's kids. And we have Autumn Pearl here, which was one of those flowers that I'm passing around, the big, tall, white one in there. Those are the Autumn Pearl, and I have them, lots of them blooming now, but if you plant these will still bloom in a month or two, so it's not too late to plant them. The nice thing about narcissus is that they look best with a lot of bulbs in a group. If you buy just, you know, 3 of them or 5 of them, 7 of them, whatever, it's really not very good display. It's good to put a good quantity in a big hole and just jam them in. A nice tight group is fine. They don't mind being crowded in groups. They actually like it. They grow taller. They're happy that way. But you should leave space between groups, a foot or better yet, a foot and a half, because the leaves will grow and eventually fall over, and then they need exposure to the sunlight. The roots need space. They like to be crowded because they're social. They tend to divide a lot. They tend to make big clumps. If you plant them in groups, you're just giving it a head start. And the crowding's not an issue, but they need space around that crowd so that the roots and leaves can spread out. So the narcissus, they're kind of lined up in order of bloom. We have some of the later ones up on the top here, the earlier ones down below, and I have these collections. And this is something I'm really featuring tonight as a special sale price, $35 for a collection. Gives you 4 different kinds, a dozen of each. And there are early narcissus, including Autumn Colors and Autumn Pearl, the 2 types that are in that bouquet that's been passed around. Both of those are in there, a dozen of each, plus a dozen early Cheer. And early Cheer here is really nice. Snowball doubles, oh, you can just smell them all over the yard. Really easy to grow. These will bloom in the early spring, or by the calendar, be winter. For me, they bloom in January, February. Here you might be a little later when you get some cold in the winter, but they are one of the earliest ones in the California spring, as we call it, once it starts warming up. And Golden Dawn is in the collection also. This is what I call a half-a-dil, daffodil-narcissus hybrid, and really bright yellow with orange cup, incredibly nice fragrance. And so this, for me, it blooms in March. Here you might see a little later, March, early April. These have larger flowers, not as many per stem, but they do really well and they multiply well. But those are the 4 kinds that are in the collections. In fact, the early Cheer here, I brought along some bins of this. If you want, I grow loads of these because they're really popular cut flower as well. When I sell flowers at the farmers markets, they sell really well. And I have these bins down at the end here. This is a lug bin of early Cheer, and there's probably 300 in there. I just sell it for $100. And well worth it for mass plantings. I also have a bin here of single Chinese narcissus, and I recommend that approach of quantity like that. You get a good display of those, and I give you a really good deal. So I always say, can't eat them, gotta sell them. And yep. So let's take a look at the narcissus varieties here. Okay, so We have autumn, we have paper whites, autumn colors, autumn pearl, Chinese single, also known as Shiraz. I know when I go to the Menlo Park Farmers Market, a lot of customers there are from Iran, and they recognize this. They'll point to that and they'll say Shiraz, because that's the city where it's grown in large quantity commercially. And they've all grown, that's their favorite kind, and my favorite too. It's my favorite smell of any flower in the world is this narcissus. Here in California, we generally call it the Chinese or single Chinese or China lily narcissus, but it's the same thing that the people in the Middle East have other names for it there, like Nargis or Shiraz. This is early cheer that I showed you before. Here's what I developed myself, Miss Melissa, named after my friend Melissa. That's a really nice one. Big clusters of like 20 or 25, sometimes even 27 on a stem. Big clusters of bloom, white with lemon cups blooming late February into March. Amazing fragrance. Remember, each kind smells different. Here's more autumn pearl, Carrie Tawila, named after my friend Carrie. It's like the Golden Dawn, but deeper colored. I think the picture probably is the other, kind of gives the wrong impression that Golden Dawn is deeper colored, but actually this is the deeper colored one in real life. Late blooming, meaning March, early April, smells incredible. And I recommend them highly. Nicole's favorite, named after my friend Nicole. That's a half-a-dill, part daffodil, part narcissus. And just remember that name, half-a-dill. So big flowers, but still in a cluster. Smell amazing. Super easy to grow. Bright spot. This is a three-quarter daffodil, one-quarter narcissus. A half-a-dill crossed back to daffodil. One or two flowers on a stem. Tall stem, large flowers, very bright, intense orange-red cup. Super nice variety. Bright spot. You would do great with that. That would do great around here. Yes. And then you have to get some cold weather makes that come deepest. The orange red come really dark in the cups. Go ahead.
If you planted them like even in separate clumps, how much would they hybridize?
Well, okay. So what happens there is the only way they're going to hybridize is if you actually collect seeds from them. And which is what I do when I plant them in those 5-gallon cans and grow them from seed as I develop new varieties. But the bulbs that you plant in the ground, of course, they will stay what they are permanently, and they will divide, which is like garlic divide, same sort of thing, clonally into more of the exact same thing. The only way hybridizing will occur is if you have seed pods form up above. Many, many varieties are sterile or almost sterile or close to it or whatever, but there are some that are fertile. Certainly the paper whites are fertile, the autumn colors are fertile, some of the others are a little bit fertile if you pollinate and repollinate and really work at it. But in general, you won't find seed pods too often on most narcissus, but if you do, what you planted stays the same, but what you grow from seed will of course vary, and that can be very interesting. If you find seed pods, plant them, plant the seeds. They're really interesting stuff. Any other questions?
Yeah. Crinums, yes. More cold hardy than regular crinums?
Good question. What's your experience with crinums here? They freeze back in the winter?
Yes.
They do. And they grow again in the spring?
Yes.
And they bloom well?
Uh-huh.
The same would be true of these.
Okay.
Yeah. They would likely, in your situation, then freeze back at least a bit. I would say it's similar hardiness, and then they would grow actively when it warms up. Go ahead.
You say plant them in a bunch.
Yeah.
Here's your bunch.
Okay. So with narcissus, 6 or 12, and you can just jam them close together. You can even put them in the same group just like touch each other if you like. But I've done like early cheers and grand primos, and which is right here. This comes from the 1700s. This is one people sometimes recognize from old gardens as a really heirloom type variety. This goes back to the 1780s under the exact name Grand Primo. And this snowball double that I was showing you that I have the big bins of over there, and which is in the collections, that's the double mutation of Grand Primo. In fact, early cheer was discovered in New Zealand, in the North Island of New Zealand, in a little town called Huntly, in 1934. In an old garden full of primos, there was a clump of these. It's just a natural mutation from the old 1700s Grand Primo. So primos and early cheers, I've put like 25 in a group, and they're just as happy as can be. When you put them in big groups, you can actually dig deeper and put some down with maybe 3 or 4 inches of dirt over them, and others with just an inch or two. The deeper ones will bloom later, and so that will tend to lengthen the season.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County.